Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this day and always. So this past Monday, as I read through today's gospel, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Some of you know and some of you may not. We've been offered to buy two pieces of property in between PLM and Our Savior Lutheran Church. It's something that the church has been wanting to do for quite some time. And now we have the opportunity to do that. And we have to come together as one as a church to make that decision. This is what Jesus is praying for his disciples, to be one. And so that people, even in the future, that hear the word of the disciples, they may be one as well. I'm like, man, this sermon's going to write itself. And then we had this incident on Tuesday. The news of yet another mass shooting that took place. And in all places, an elementary school, where we know now that 19 children are dead, along with two teachers and the shooter and his grandmother. We still haven't really figured out everything from the last mass shooting, this racist-motivated mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, that killed 10 people on May 15th. It's only May 29th. That was 15 days ago. There, those 10 people, Roberta, age 32, Margus, age 52, Andre, age 53, Aaron, age 55, Geraldine, age 62, Celestine, age 65, Haywood, age 67, Catherine, age 72, Pearl, age 77, Ruth, age 86, Zaire, age 20, Jennifer, age 50, and Christopher, age 55, were all gunned down by somebody who just wanted to get rid of people who were not like him. And now there are 19 dead children, ages 9, 10, and 11, whose greatest crimes were to go into school. McKenna, age 10, Layla, age 11, Miranda, age 11. Nevaeh, age 10. Jose, age 10. Xavier, age 10. Tess, age 10. Releo, age 10. Ellie, age 9. Eliana, age 10. Annabelle, age 10. Jackie, age 9. JC, age 10, Matea, age 10, Jayla, age 10, Amari, age 10, Lexi, age 10, Alethea, age 10, and two teachers, Irma, age 48, and Eva, age 44. As your pastor, I am struggling to think of some good news to share as these world events continue to unravel. What can I say that will bring us together as one around this tragic news? Anything I can say just seems to fall short of understanding why these mass shootings keep happening. I'm sure we are feeling some of the same emotions, sadness, despair. We're miserable. We're heartbroken. And maybe like you, or maybe you're like me and starting to get angry, enraged that these mass shootings take place. I ask myself, what can we do considering all this? What can I do as your spiritual guide in this chaos and bewilderment? So I turned back to the scripture. In John 17, Jesus looks to heaven and begins to pray. He first prays for himself. He looks up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." Then he prays for his disciples later on, verse 17, "Sanctify them, the disciples, in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify them, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And then Jesus prays for those who will come to believe. We heard this morning, verse 20, I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who believe in me through their, the disciples' word, that they, those yet to come, like us, may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What is it that brings us together as one? Of course, God does this. And what's that mean for us? How do we remember that we are all one in God when the world seems to be forgetting that God made us to be in relationship with God and with one another, not to kill one another, to be in relationship with one another? So the only thing I can offer you today, because times like this, my soul gets dry too. Is to pray. The only thing I can offer to you, like Jesus, pray for ourselves, pray for our community, those closest to us, and pray for those we don't know, but whom we know are hurting. We pray for all those who are looking for answers in the midst of deep hurt and despair. So today, that's why we have these prayer stations set up in the sanctuary. Each one of these prayer stations, I invite you to come to. If this is totally out of your experience and out of your comfort zone, I understand. God bless you. You may pray right where you're at. But I invite you to try to step into something that's a little bit different than what you're normally used to. Because these times when children are killing children, we need to do something a little bit different that's outside of our comfort zone. We need to start, I really don't know what, other than start doing something different, because what we're doing currently is not working. So please, as you are able, I invite you to go to each of these prayer stations. There are instruction sheets on each one of them. They are simple tasks, but that can open your mind to praying for people maybe in a different way. As those of you in the congregation are doing that, I'm going to walk through those of you online with the items I asked you to get. Our wonderful Sandra Vanna is going to play something softly in the background as this goes on. And after we are done going through these, I'll ask you back into your seats, or once I see everybody in your seats, I'll continue with the rest of the service. Sandra, please. As those who wish to get up and move around the sanctuary to each table, I go ahead and encourage you to do that. Those of you at home, I ask you to grab the piece of paper that I asked you to get. And here, take a few moments to pause and think about the guilt and shame we feel individually or communally. Maybe you feel guilty or shame about political unrest and polarity within the country or even your family. Maybe you feel shame of living peacefully as nations are at war. Maybe you feel guilty because you cannot do enough for those who are in need or in need of protection. Maybe you hold guilt or shame for some other reason. God knows your heart and hears your sorrow. Take a moment to give space for the Holy Spirit to open your heart in vulnerability. Then take a moment and write on the paper what is causing your guilt or shame. As you finish, fold that piece of paper up. You can either tear it up, or if you're brave enough and have the utensils there, you can burn it, because God's love is the refining fire that burns away all that guilt. God rips up our sin and our shame and washes us clean. As you finish up with the paper, I ask you to grab the fabric or the cloth. Here, take a few moments to pause and think about someone you would like to lift in prayer. Maybe it's a loved one, or maybe someone you know who is in despair. Maybe it is the community or family, the families who are reeling in New York or Texas after the mass shootings. Maybe it's those who are experiencing displacement in Ukraine or other countries as their homes are affected by war or violence. Maybe it's those adjusting to our post-COVID reality after the loss of a loved one or one lost to COVID. I ask you to take a moment for the Holy Spirit to place a person or community in your heart for whom to pray. Then take a few seconds and write that person's name or the community's name on the fabric. You can take that fabric and tie it somewhere outside so people can see it. The Holy Spirit can blow through it. Or you can bring it to church and we'll add it to those that are here. And we will hang them up outside. So again, the wind and the Holy Spirit can blow through them and maybe enlighten somebody else to pray for those as well. And you're finishing up the fabric or cloth. I'll ask you to take the rock that I asked you to get and pick that rock up and then feel the weight of it. Take a few moments to pause and think about what is weighing you down. Maybe it's the awareness of the grief, stress, anxiety, depression, or uncertainty we are experiencing in this time. Maybe it's the burden of illness or the illness of a loved one. Maybe it's the injustice of young lives taken and families devastated in mass shootings. Maybe it's the war in Ukraine or the war on our planet known as climate change. You know what weighs you down, and so does God. Take a few seconds and write what is weighing on you on the rock, and then lay it at the foot of the altar. God will take it. You do not have to carry it alone. Jesus is with you and walking with you every step of the way. I know you may not have an altar in your place, but at your home, find some place that's sacred to you. God's present there as well. As you finish up with that, I ask you to put in front of you the candle that I asked you to get. In John chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world," Jesus says. Here, take a few moments to pause and think about who needs the light of Christ to bring hope. Maybe it's you or a loved one. Maybe it's someone in Texas or New York. Maybe it's someone in a war-torn country. Maybe it's the world in general right now. Take a few seconds and light the candle, and then place it somewhere in your house that you will notice it. It is the light of Christ, as it is always burning with love, mercy, and grace to shine in the brokenness and the darkness of despair. God's light will always be here. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to try something different, something new. We continue to pray for a broken world in light of the love of Christ that unites us all. Amen.